We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Jesse, AJ, coming at you live. We're going to get into some fun little debates a little bit later in the show that, I don't know, I think chat might get mad tonight. I think they might get mad about some of the things we end up doing on the show today, but we'll see how it goes. First, news of the day. The only thing anyone has really been hype on, and maybe for all the wrong reasons, seems to be New Jersey's. got the meme in there, funny. But look, Jesse, AJ, and I have not been known for our Jersey takes, so you got anything spicy for us?
Dude, look, I mean, like, so I'm normally, for the most part, I'm like you guys. We're like, I like a nice jersey. I like when teams do some that look, you know, look nice, look clean. I think it's a fun little thing that you know, fans get to take part in. Dude, these are horrible. These are some of the worst jerseys I've ever seen. And like usually, and like even these ones, when you see the full kit, it looks better. This is terrible. I put something on Twitter the day before because where are the Riverettes from? What's their city, the NWHL team.
Talking about the Riveters?
Yeah. They're just New York. They did some jerseys that just released earlier in this week. Big friend of the pod, Justin Cox, did those. And I said, if you're going to use text on jerseys, this is how you did it. It's stylized. It almost kind of looks like a logo. Martin Brodeur literally just found the first cursive font in Microsoft Word and...
I guess they play at Prudential Center. They're in New Jersey. My bad.
Oh. Even better. Even better. Because they play in the same building as the Devils. Like, these are just bad. Isn't this is the first third jersey New Jersey's ever had. And and you used it on this?
If you told me that this was a jersey for Jersey Mike subs, I would believe you. Like, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. It's like a promotional thing for them.
Right, right, right. That you see hanging up in every Jersey Mike's in the country. Yeah. Right.
If PK Subban is wearing that and he walks into a Walmart and tries to buy something, I think that the scanner would just keep scanning his jersey. Because it's just all barcodes.
There are some barcodes on that thing. It's true. Well,
and he said, so Martin Brodeur designed these. And they said that the stripes, there's 21 stripes for 21 counties in New Jersey. It's like, man, that is a reach on symbolism.
You're stretching for sure.
And like, did nobody stop them and say, hey, it might look like you're just labeling this article of clothing?
Jersey.
Like, this is correct. The type of stuff. This is the type of stuff, dude, where you see horrible decisions made because people are afraid to speak up in meeting rooms.
So would it be better if it said Devils in the terrible cursive font?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It still wouldn't be good, but it would have been better. Or, you know, even if they had done just like a different stylized NJ. But again, that is just the most basic generic cursive font. They should have at least put New Jersey, because it also just takes up an odd amount of space on the front of the jersey.
I love this PR talk. A never before worn base color. It's black, dog.
Well, and
I love that this it says C Jersey. And had they just put C New Jersey on it, like New Jersey's like state of tourism or whatever, yeah. Could have just used it as an advertisement to go see New Jersey.
I also love for under the crest, it says an unabashed proclamation that above all else, we play for Jersey. It's like,
I think just slip a the in there. We play for right. The Jersey. Yeah, it's
right.
I can't believe that our fake beer league team has better jerseys than this.
Right, right. Honestly. And then you know what makes it even worse? It's like, wow, those are really bad. And then you stare at them for a while and you realize that they're just bad knockoffs of those Chicago Blackhawks jerseys from like the 20s that they used in the Winter Classic a couple years ago. And so you found a way to like dumb that down. And it's just disappointing. Like, Avs fans went through something like this with the last Stadium Series jersey. And that's why I, for the most part, it's like, whatever. This is a jersey they'll use once and retire it and we'll never see it again, you know, for one season. But, like, fans get excited about this stuff. It's merch you can sell, you know, especially now with, like, the whole push towards, like, streetwear, having stuff that's cool and identifiable and stuff that people want to wear outside of the hockey rink. It's just a bummer for Devils fans that have waited so long for any type of alternate uniform, and this is what they came up with.
The part I don't get is the interior colors. It's like, oh, cool, you put your three cups on the part of the jersey that no one will ever see.
Yeah. I actually think they've got that on their current ones, too.
It's cool that they do that on championship rings, but, like, you're meant to show that shit off to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, and then did you guys see under the laces, it says that the laces are a nod to Martin Brodeur, who
was a
goalie.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I just – everything about this, just every step of the way, you're like, huh, weird design choice. Huh, weird design choice. Huh, another weird design choice. And they could have been made five times better by not writing Jersey. Again, you just know that there was five people in that meeting. Martin Brodeur was the one that put this up on the board, and there was a handful of people that were like, those are terrible, but I'm not about to be the one to tell Martin Brodeur that I don't like his jersey.
I'm not convinced that the NHL has hired people who think that those are terrible.
I think that you see this stuff get through because everyone's too afraid to speak up.
It's why couldn't all I right
just think that they're bad.
wouldn't it be the easiest thing in the world to just add a devil tail to that Y? Wouldn't that help at least like a little bit?
Oh, you mean stylize the text?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll make the like make just like the little devil tail just right at the end of the Y right there.
Yeah. Right. It's not hard. If AJ and I can come up with this, like, come on.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's so weird when teams put the captaincy on the right chest instead of the left. And because this jersey text has the tiniest angle set to it, they had to move it.
Yeah.
I don't just move it down.
Yeah.
Or if they really wanted a black, if they really wanted a black jersey, they should have just done their jersey, but in black. Maybe I don't know. They should have done anything other than right jersey across the chest. Of all things they should have done, that should have been last on the list. That's really all I've got. I saw the official release of those today. I was hoping that with the full kit they look better.
They don't.
They're just bad, dude.
On a more robust news day, we could have just blown right by this, but today we got nothing.
Yeah, we had to dunk on it.
There was nothing going around. We looked around the league, and it was just like, oh, do we want to talk about injuries? No.
Again.
Yeah. And the only thing is from Avs practice today. Guys are going to Dallas, and they may or may not play. So. Real meaningful stuff so far.
Yeah.
Literally. Guys are getting closer, but we'll see. It's still, this might happen, which is where we were yesterday. So.
There you go. The peak form of their new jersey.
Not far off from what it looks like.
I love sock one and sock two.
Yeah, like that's pretty good.
It's like thing one and thing two.
Didn't stop at socks. Love it.
Okay, so yeah, not really any other significant news for the day, at least as far as the ads are concerned.
Everyone but McKinnon and Compher are going on the Dallas trip.
Yep.
Byram, I think, is the only one that might play, maybe.
Martin Kaut close to coming back. Just really, really quick. Would you put him in ahead of Kiefer Sherwood at this point?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sherwood played 6 minutes last night. I actually thought I thought Sherwood had a good game in Seattle. And I was like, oh, maybe he can stick around. And then, I don't know, just after last night, like it's one of those things where you can plug Kaut into that place if you want. Great. You can keep Sherwood there for another game or two if you want. Great.
I mean, you can play anyone in that role, right? You might as well try and take the upside play.
Yeah, the idea with Kaut, though, is like you understand what Kiefer Sherwood is and what Kiefer Sherwood isn't, and you aren't likely winning a Stanley Cup. Kiefer Sherwood is in your everyday lineup. Not that like he's that bad or anything. It just you can do better there. So I think you know, with Kaut, give him the extended look, right?
Yeah, say find out, because you are starting to get into that territory of like, do you know what Kaut is when he's coming into the lineup?
Yeah.
And so give him that opportunity to prove that you don't before he kind of resigns himself to NHL, AHL tweener who you kind of know what you're getting. Yeah, I don't have an issue with it.
Okay.
Cool. I was just curious. Since we might be coming up on that conversation this week.
Yeah.
Definitely something to keep in mind. Also keep in mind Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it down at the DNVR bar, of course, or at your local liquor store. Keep your eyes peeled for their Good Company hard seltzer, or more importantly, their Christmas kegs. They are out there right now. They're at my local. If you want to get yourself a little bit of a, it's not a real keg for the record. It's a mini keg. So you can get it and keep it in your fridge and it's not unruly, but it's a nice little mini keg that you can have your Christmas ale good to go from Breck. You aren't
trying to explain to your significant other why you're 44 years old and trying to tap this keg in the middle of your kitchen while your kids look on in confusion.
Honey, what is this in the kitchen?
Yeah. What is going on? Yeah.
Well, Get yourself whatever you're feeling from Breck Brew, available in all of the lower 48, and if you know the right people, available in Canada.
It's true. You pay me enough money, I'll bring that shit to you.
If you want to afford a real proper keg, maybe the Ball Corporation is what is looking for you. Their Golden Plant is looking for production technicians. You can read the full description online and apply at jobs.ball.com when you search for Golden. So what does a product technician do exactly? The position is on the front line of the aluminum beverage can production process at Ball Plants. The company offers a competitive $27.39 per hour wage with potential for increase at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job, and it offers exposure to a lot of other manufacturing opportunities in the plant. The production technician role touches on the other stages of production, making aluminum cans and ends. So all of that also brings full-time benefits, including a 401k retirement plan, stock purchase ownership program, and even potential for annual bonuses. So jump on it now. Hit up Ball right now at jobs.ball.com. Search for that Golden Plant. Get yourself a nice little job there paying a good wage so you can go buy kegs. Why not? Ball probably makes the kegs. So maybe you get a discount even on the aluminum itself. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We want to do something a little bit different on the show today. There's an idea we've been kicking around for a little while where I give these two a topic, and one of the sides is going to be an obvious one. It's going to be an Avalanche tilted, defend this topic from the Avalanche side, but I'm going to make one of them defend this from the non-Avalanche side, and they have to dig into this, come up with something that, depending on how things go, Avalanche fans might not like it, might not like how the debate ends up going on this show. So are both of you ready for this?
No, but I think that's kind of the point, right?
to a certain extent. All right. So the first topic I have come up with here is Cale Makar, the best defenseman in the NHL. Jesse, you're going to be on the side of yes. AJ, you're going to be on the side of no.
Damn, I was actually getting stuff together because I thought I was going to end up being on the side of no. So now I got to kind of pivot here.
All right. I mean, I'll cede the floor to whoever's ready. I know AJ was doing some research on Adam Fox before the show, but he doesn't look too pleased about it.
All right.
Do you want to go first?
No, have at it.
Oh, damn. That was me trying to get you to go first.
Right, off to a strong start here, boys.
Yeah.
Definitely prepared.
I think we were both assuming that this was going to be flipped, so I was honestly prepping to defend why he wasn't.
This is the best part of the show, all right? I don't want researched answers. I want to put you guys on the spot and just come up with.
Perfect. So I mean, look, we talked about it a little bit last night, and I actually even said last night on the show that there's a great chance that in his third, and I'm not even going to use the word full season. Like, I'm not going to use that word because this dude has not skated a full season yet. Now, hold on. Also, a quick timeout. Am I laying out my whole argument and then he's going to counter, or am I kind of doing this point by point?
I would say he can counter point by point if
he wants to.
Again, without objection.
Without pulling anything up right
Phoenix Wright style?
Yeah, exactly.
Objection! Awesome. Anyway, go on.
Without pulling anything up right in front of me, until I wait for AJ to start talking. Look, for the longest time, we were seeing this whole shift go towards, right, new age defensemen. But
weaker.
With a lot of that, there came the assumption of, yeah, new age defensemen have to just be passable defensively and really good offensively. It doesn't matter if they're that underside, they got to skate, they got to be just passable on defense. Then you look at someone like Cale Makar, who I believe last night, what his Corsi events were 29-4 and 5 against at 5v5. This is a guy who leads his team in goals and is so outperforming, like performing in the offensive zone versus the defensive zone, that in terms of he generates so much and gives up almost nothing. He gives up almost nothing. He is literally redefining what it is to be a new age defenseman, and he is setting the new standard for what makes an elite defenseman, right? Everyone talks about Victor Hedman because he's been so good at that for so long, while he's so stout defensively and he can also contribute up front. You are looking at that in Cale Makar, but he's a better skater. He's faster. Again, we said it last night on the show. I've never seen anyone, forward or defenseman, skate the way Cale Makar does. His skating, pure skating ability, I think, is the only person. Him and Connor McDavid are in the same tier, and then it's everyone else.
All right. Just for some points of reference, in the last 3 years, Cale Makar has the third highest Corsi for of any defenseman with over 8,000 minutes. His goals for percentage is quite a bit lower. However, he comes in at 183rd in goals for percent. Oh, that's backwards. Hang on. He comes in at a number. It would appear that he comes in at 8th. At goals for. So still extremely good in goals for percentage. Across the board, does have very high numbers when it comes to both goal production and prevention. But
yes, way that Makar is in the same tier as McDavid. He's not as fast as McDavid, but their ability to skate and maneuver the ice and change directions, 100%. 100%. AJ, say some things so I can have some counterpoints to go off of.
So I don't think that it's I don't even think that it's clear cut that Cale Makar is even the best defenseman on his own team right now. I would say that if you go and you look at his wowies and you look at his season this year and you look at the fact that he got off to such a slow start to the season, well, guess what? He wouldn't play next to Devon Toews. And as soon as Devon Toews got back, Cale Makar's game went to a different level. And so I'm wondering how much of this is a product. Ryan Graves was all of his success was credited to Cale Makar carrying him. But how much is Cale Makar being carried by Devon Toews right now? And the fact that Devon Toews legitimately might be one of the very best defensemen in the NHL. And I mean defensemen, not offensive or defensive or any of that. Just as a hockey player, Devon Toews might be a better all around and more consistent player. So maybe it would help. Maybe it would help the Makar's case if he was the clear cut best defenseman on his own team. But I will say that if you're trying to find the best defenseman in the NHL right now, I mean, Victor Hedman is the guy. He plays in all situations. Bad year last year.
That's
no doubt. No doubt about that. Bad year last year, but he's bounced back to regular Victor Hedman levels this year so far. And
well, and bad is put very much in quotation.
Like bad for Victor Hedman, right? Like it wasn't like, oh, Patrick Nemeth had a better year, right? It was like bad for Victor Hedman. But Victor Hedman also plays all situations, which is something that Cale Makar doesn't do. And it's hard to say that a guy is the best defenseman in the NHL if you're not playing in all situations. If you're not playing power play, you're not playing even strength, you're not playing penalty kill. Look, you're a defenseman. You're not even on your own team's penalty kill. There's a feather in the cap that's missing there. When you're talking about guys that do everything at a really high level, I think Victor Hedman is still the gold standard in the league. And you're talking about guy has won a Norris Trophy. He's won a Conn Smythe. He's finished in the top three of Norris voting 5 times in his career. I think that Victor Hedman is still probably the guy. He scores at a high level, doesn't score at the same kind of level as Cale Makar, but a much better, yeah, literally anybody can play PK. It's possible. All your coach has to do is say, go do it. But the fact that the coaching staff doesn't trust him enough to do it says a lot. Victor Hedman's out there all the time. Victor Hedman's out there doing the thing.
So interestingly,
Cale Makar isn't. So I'm saying, you know, as all around defenseman, I'm still giving it to Victor Hedman.
Interestingly,
for now.
Over the last 3 years, Devontae's does eke out Cale Makar in expected goals for percentage by just a tiny bit, with marginally better defensive side.
So what I love about this is the two main arguments I was going to lean into if I was on the other side of this were almost identical to what AJ just came up with, in terms of, you know, you have I don't know if he'll actually get put on Canada's Olympic roster in Devon Taves, but that's someone where I feel like if they did, he would end up kind of being like the way Cale Makar was a few years ago at World Juniors, where they were kind of almost playing him as like seventh defenseman. Then he ended up getting the award for best defenseman in the tournament. But with that, I more of think that it is something that Devon Taves and Cale Makar complement each other so well than it is Devon Taves actually being the better player than Cale Makar. Because like you said, Ryan Graves is getting a shot as a number one defenseman almost solely because of Cale Makar and what Cale Makar was kind of able to turn him into. And look, like, I'm not going to argue that Victor Hedman isn't necessarily the gold standard for defensemen. Like you said, this dude's a top three Norris vote getter five times. I believe he has a Conn Smythe under his belt. That dude has done it in the league now for a long time. To me, the reason I look at maybe Cale Makar saying, yeah, I would put Makar a step ahead of Victor Hedman is, again, we haven't even seen this kid play a full season yet. And the fact that he missed as many games as he did last year and still found a way to make his way in second place in Norris voting, he's just completely changing the position. There is no real comparable for Cale Makar. You know, there's someone in the chat saying that he's not in the same tier as McDavid. He can't dance four guys. That is not what I said. I said he's in the same tier of skater. Completely different thing. In terms of his ability to skate, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone else other than Connor McDavid float around the ice the way he does. And what's interesting.
This is incorrect. Just this comment on the screen is incorrect.
Oh. Shit. I thought you were saying that him floating around the rink is incorrect.
He's awesome, man. He's a for a defenseman, there isn't anybody in the world that skates like him.
Well, and honestly, I mean, you know,
freak.
We talked about Quinn Hughes a couple years ago. You know, Adam Fox beat him out for Norris last year, but I just don't know if there's any defenseman that is that plays the way that he does. There's just not a comparable for Cale Makar right now when he's at the top of his game. And he's got that Nathan MacKinnon effect. Like, if you go back to the beginning of Nathan MacKinnon's career, even before he broke out as a superstar, any line they moved him to, that line started doing well. And it was always really fun. Like, oh, wow, this line's going. Oh, things don't go well. They move Nathan MacKinnon. Yeah, they move MacKinnon around. And suddenly a new line starts taking off. We're kind of seeing that same thing with Makar. You know, yeah, Devon Taves gets back, and now those two are going nuts. But again, it was Ryan Graves. And then at the beginning of the year, even when we said Cale Makar wasn't playing well, it was him and Byram. The success just seems to follow him, whichever pairing he's on.
So for the record, for production, there is only one defenseman over the last 3 years with a minimum of 100 games played that produces at a higher rate than Cale Makar at 5-on-5, and that is John Carlson. Makar at a 1.66 per 60 points per 60.
And is that just point production or goal production?
That is point production.
It's points per 60.
Yeah.
Oh, points per 60. Yeah, and I mean, look, Cale Makar does not have a shortage of superstars that he plays with, but when you're playing with the greatest goal scorer in the history of hockey.
And a bunch of other really good guys. John Carlson right. is a great 5v5 player, which is...
Right, I was going to say, and John Carlson's very good himself.
Yeah. He's a great offensive defenseman. Yeah. He's always been a really high production guy.
And I think that's where Cale Makar starts to separate a little bit, is he is within touching distance, if not number one, in a lot of these offensive metrics when you're looking at defensemen. And then you see someone like Devon Taves, who's just edging him out on the defensive side. And we get back to this conversation where I do think Makar is a little bit underrated on the defensive side of the puck. I do think people...
I think nationally he's underrated. Yeah, but I think in Colorado, I think we have a pretty good feel.
The people who watch him every night know what's up.
And he's also super underrated in the sense of, like, everyone calls him an undersized defenseman. Like, he has a physical edge to his game. You know, he can hit. He can win battles. He's very stout defensively. And I also don't know if I've ever seen anyone jump into the league as a defenseman and be as effective as he was as quickly as he was.
Yeah, I mean, him being as good as he was at his age is part of the story. You know, because if you do look at a guy like Victor Hedman rolled into the league, I think, as an 18 or 19 year old. And it was, 19 years old. It took him a couple of years. He was several years into his career. And then the switch went on. And, you know, but with defensemen, that's a lot more of a normal thing. You look at a guy like Devon Taves, although he's more a freak. But it's, you know, with Hedman, he's been doing it for such a long time. I think we've seen the best we're going to see out of Victor Hedman in the NHL. And I think moving forward, it's probably Makar. But I still think when you're talking about a guy that does everything, a two-way guy, a guy that's on all the units, a guy that does everything that a team asks of him, Makar still has a ways to go to get there. Offensively, I think he's probably there. But the rest of the game, defensively,
But I mean, outside of, like, some of the special teams work, what is missing from his game defensively?
Yeah, defensively, I'd like to see him play with a little more intent in front of his own net. We're just getting into specifics here, and we're going to...
No, I know.
Throw tangible evidence, but right. He's a guy that I would really like to see play with a little more edge in front of the net. He seeds net front really easily, and then he's really inconsistent with how he takes sticks away. And he's always cheating a step or two towards trying to get out of the offensive zone or trying to get out of the defensive zone with the puck. And I think that I could probably live with that even on his worst days because it's, I mean, the trade-offs are fine. But when you're talking about where does he need to improve, he's still a little too easy. He has a physical edge, and we see him. He'll lay guys out in transition and along the wall and all that. But he's not making life miserable in front of his own net. Other guys are having their can pretty well jump in there and get into his grill and push him around and bully him. His best defense is all about preventing things from happening in the first place.
Yeah.
Because
it two steps ahead.
Exactly. Because once teams get established in the offensive zone, he's not very good yet at
same
at getting it out. At his
corner work too, right? One of the key features, I think, why you look at Hedman is dudes look up, see they're going into the corner with Hedman and go, shit.
Maybe I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the one small caveat to that is Hedman's 8'9",
Well, and like that's
he's a freak.
Cale Makar has to overcome that his entire career. He's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
So he's just gonna have to find a way to be effective. I mean, look at Sam Girard is 5'8" and 160 pounds. That dude has had to find ways to be effective in the NHL despite that. You know, and I'm not I'm never gonna ding G for not being good in front of his own net because he just can't be. It's not something he'll be able to overcome. And Makar, I think, has a better chance to get there and just to find ways. I mean, I'm not asking him to be Adam Foote here. I'm not asking him to get dirty and dump guys and manhandle power forwards, you know, who have 40 pounds on him or whatever. That's not fair. But I really, you asked where does he have to get better? No. And I think that's probably the area of the game defensively 100%. That I would love to see him develop at some point. I mean, the guy's a baby in the NHL. He's got lots of time to work on this. And that's where I think he needs to go next.
All right. I'm giving the point to AJ on this one because he did this without even bringing up Adam Fox.
Yeah, well, so Adam Fox is just in the same boat as Cale Makar, I think, where they're both very good elite offensive defensemen in different ways. Adam Fox has he might be this generation Sergei Gonchar, where he is just an unbelievable distributor of the puck who can score enough goals to be competitive every year. But he is going to run a high-level power play his entire career. He has unbelievable vision and anticipation and just a sense for where guys are going to be. He truly looks like he's playing the game in slow motion at sometimes, where he's able to just process things that you're just like, I don't know how he sees this. And as a playmaker, I don't think Makar is in the same tier, but as a shooter and goal scorer, he's physically capable of things that Adam Fox can't dream of. And I think he's going to score way, way, way more goals in his career than Adam Fox is.
Two things with the Hedman thing. I was mostly just saying Makar's never going to strike the same fear into players that Victor Hedman does. Cause you know, going into the corners for and sure. stuff like that, that was the only argument.
6'6", 240. What do you do?
Right. The only other thing that I wanted to say in defense of Cale Makar is since he's coming to the league, when was the last time you looked at points per game by a defenseman and Cale Makar hasn't been number one? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And his offensive production is undeniable. Offensively, I don't think I think that he is a singular talent. You know, he's taking on all comers, right? First it was Quinn Hughes. He was as pretender as it gets. And now it's Adam Fox, who I think Adam Fox is super legit and very, very, very good. But I think what makes Makar better than those guys is that at his absolute best, if you get those guys on their best nights, Cale Makar is winning you games and he does things that just the other guys simply are not capable of.
Well, I mean, last night's a good example.
It's a great example.
Where he just, the whatever goal that was, Rudo, was it the fourth or fifth goal? Fourth goal, I think.
It was the fourth where he just destroyed families. And
yeah, he picks up the puck, and you honestly felt that one about 3 seconds before the puck actually went in. Where he just finally was like, yep, this is done now.
Yep.
I feel like scoring a goal.
I mean, I don't think there's any better way to put it than there is one defenseman currently on pace for 30 goals this year, and it's Cale Makar.
Yeah. Yeah. So. There
is another defenseman in the NHL now that Brent Burns is bad at everything that can keep up with him in scoring goals consistently for the next several years. But when you said Makar was changing the game, I don't think that that's true. Because if teams go looking for the next Cale Makar, they can't find it. He doesn't exist.
Well, no, but
he's,
I mean,
he's singular.
Kids that are playing hockey now, 8, 9, 10 years old, like you will see more players like Cale Makar in the future. You will. Because you will. I'm positive. and again, they may not even be in the league by the time he retires. But he is changing the way that defensemen play the game. Absolutely.
Right.
So what have we learned? Go to DraftKings, bet on Cale Makar for a point every single freaking night. Seems pretty easy. Hit up DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. Right now, they are running a Thanksgiving special with some free bets going on. Turkey Day has a no-brainer for you. New customers get a bet $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a single point. The game doesn't end in a 0-0 tie. You get $100 in free bets. So jump on that offer today with DraftKings Sportsbook and that DNVR sign-up code. Also, for Thanksgiving games, all customers, this is not just new, but returning, using currently, get a risk-free bet up to $25 if your same-game parlay doesn't win on a Thanksgiving football game. So it's a free $25 bet. If it doesn't work, you get to reload and shoot it again. Jump on it with DraftKings. Super safe, secure, and reliable. It's dope. Right now, you can fire off your bets for Thanksgiving, get super, super tired on turkey, pass out, and then wake up richer in your DraftKings account. Pretty much that simple. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that DNVR promo code to get the $1 bet for a chance, more like a guarantee, to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. You can visit DraftKings.com/sportsbook for more details. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Other terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com again for details. DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. After which, you can check out Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee that has really helped people change lives. Jesse just ordered his Strava pods the other day, live on the show. So if you didn't know, they do have pods for your Keurig. You can get it that way for your morning coffee. Super fast, super easy. You can get 25% off with code DNVR25 for your first order, and then 20% off with their subscription service pretty much for the rest of your life after that. If you're not sure on it, we have cold brew Strava down at the DNVR bar, which you can try before you're by. Last, but certainly not least, we have Hassle Cattle Company, which you can get 15% off for the holidays here. Get on it quick. The time is running out to use code DNVR15 to get that 15% off with Hassle. You can order yourself some Wagyu burgers or some super, super nice steaks, whatever you're feeling, as long as you don't cook them well done around here, all right? DNVR is not a well-done company. It's a medium rare and below company.
I like just the phrasing of DNVR is not a well-done company.
Doesn't sound great.
Way to dunk on us there.
Anyway, check out Hassle. Go get yourself some delicious meats. And if you didn't know, we have a Rapids live show coming up later this evening to preview the events of Thanksgiving.
If you didn't know, the Rapids won the top seed in the Western Conference this year and play on Thanksgiving Day. Their playoff run begins.
Conference finals, right?
Begin. Our guy behind the scenes, Yahir, will be on scene covering the game.
Yep. So we got the coverage. I know, like, literally every couple of weeks someone drops into our show and is like, when are you guys going to get Rapids coverage? Well, here it is. So enjoy the Rapids coverage. The preview show is tonight, and of course they will have a post-game show on Thursday too. So be sure to check all of that out on the Rapids side of things here on the YouTube, which if you want to get notified for, like this video, subscribe to the channel, help us out on that front here on YouTube. All right, third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by that DraftKings Sportsbook. The next question, I'm going to need a little bit of help from you guys because we're going to talk about unrestricted free agents for the Avs coming up. And there are realistically three that are actually worth talking about for Colorado, that being Andre Burakovsky, Nazem Kadri, and Val Nichushkin.
Whoa. Darcy Kemper?
Oh, Darcy Kemper too. You're right. Okay, four that are worth talking about.
Whoa. Jack Johnson?
Okay, shut up.
All right.
I need you to pick one of them together that you agree is not going to be re-signed.
Of those four. And list them off one more time.
Burakovsky, Kadri, Nichushkin, and Kemper.
We have to agree on this?
You have to agree on one of them that will not be re-signed.
I don't think that Jesse's going to agree that the answer is Kadri.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say Kadri. Yeah.
Let's agree.
I mean, what are you going to do? Pay that guy 8.5? Like,
this is the problem, right?
Right. I
it's tough to have this conversation now.
Right.
But if you look at the bigger picture, all things considered, I think Kadri is the guy. Odd man out.
And here's the other part that, again, it's hard to say this right now because of how well he's playing, but like, is that not the one guy that, like, you think internally you have his built-in replacement?
This is the other reason why. And look, to be honest, if he keeps playing like this for some reason, if he ends up with a 100-point season out of nowhere, he prices himself out of Colorado anyway.
Well, and especially because we were talking about it during the game last night. I said, if he has a 70-point season, and let's just say for shits and grins, this is the year. They do it. They finally do it. And they go win the Stanley Cup, and he's a 2C on a Stanley Cup winning team. Seriously, that guy's getting 8x7. Oof. Somewhere else.
He's 32. Old.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So, 32? Yeah.
8x5.
Then. 31 or 32. Yeah, he's right in there. I don't know when his birthday is.
He's going to get 4 to 6 years at a pretty high dollar amount from someone.
I think so too. I think
maybe not seven. No, forgetting how old he is, maybe not seven. And but I
think that dollar amount will be a mistake, but some team will definitely.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he just turned 31 last month.
Absolutely. It'll be a mistake. So yeah. So I'll say 5 years.
It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we agree that Kadri is
the guy that's on the out.
You've agreed that Kadri is on the out. So we're going to separate this out.
It's just hard to say that right now when he has 23 points in 50 games. Right. He's fourth in the NHL in scoring.
But
he's carrying a Nathan McKinnon-less offense. Like,
it's
hard to say right now. It's like, shit.
It's actually my what's so funny is my reason is actually because of everything you just said is why I think he's the odd man out. It's not because they don't want him, don't need him, wouldn't like to have him around. It's you're just not going to be able to afford that guy.
Yeah, and he's priced himself out by playing too well.
Right.
Which amidst is great all the other issues that were already there.
As you see this new hook start to
turn. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. We're good.
Cool.
Kadri's out.
Kadri's we agree on this. We don't need to argue about the part Kadri.
Kadri's
I just don't want him to watch this and feel like we're trying to get rid of him.
If he wants to stay for $4.5 million, he can stay. All right.
Yeah.
Now that we have Kadri eliminated, we'll be operating under the assumption that he's gone. AJ, you will be taking the two forwards. Jesse, you will be taking the goaltender. AJ, you have more leeway with two options. You can do it however you want, but you are up first. Why should the Avs re-sign these forwards?
I have to take them both?
However you want to do it. You have the two forwards. You can take one. You can take both. You can take the other.
Okay. So why I would prioritize them, as we're seeing right now, this is two-thirds of a second line that you can bring back and have complementary skill sets that work well together. Age-wise, they're right into your prime. They both fit right into the little window that you're operating in right now, where the bulk of your team is right about the same age. So yeah, these are both not problems. Mac and Byram are both not problems. There are enough real problems with the cap that we don't need to continue to invent shit. With Berkey and Nichushkin though, it's Nuke, you know, you're comfortable now with what Val Nichushkin is going to be able to give you. He gives you elite level defense from the wing. He's a middle six guy. He's going to be able to give you some offensive production. He drives the crap out of play on offense. He's got a little bit of a finishing problem, but that's okay because that's why you put him next to a high level finisher like an Andrei Burakovsky. Now, Burakovsky plays a little bit too soft at times, and he has games where, you know, he slips on the little marshmallow suit and he runs around and bounces off of stuff,
and you just wonder how in the world is this guy an NHL player, and then he has 3 points. It's exactly what happened last night. He didn't play particularly well, and he had a three-point night. That's usually the mark of a pretty good NHL player, that when you're not on, you find ways to be successful. You find ways to some kind of production. And Berkey has done that in his Colorado tenure, where he's been a top six fixture the entire time. He's not a top line guy. We're good with that. He's perfectly cast on the right side as a complement to Mikko Rantanen. He's a very, very good shooter. He's got good size. He's a great skater. He really fits in with a lot of what Colorado does and a lot of Colorado's identity. And the combination of Nichushkin and Burakovsky, you have $29 million in cap space. That's 2/3 of a second line. You've got Alex Newhook that you have drafted and are developing and are seeing NHL success right now, as great as it has been with Nazem Kadri. It's not hard to look at Alex Newhook and say, if that guy continues to play pretty well and he keeps finding production, you slot him into your top six next year, let Kadri go get overpaid by Minnesota, and you put Newhook in between Nichushkin and Burakovsky, you're done. You bring those guys back. They shouldn't combined. They shouldn't break the bank of that $30 million. They're going to be more expensive, obviously. Nichushkin especially is going to get a raise off that $2.5 million. But they should probably be in the 10 to 12 million range combined. And I think that for two second line wingers, that's fine. You'll probably have to bridge Newhook to make money work with other considerations. But I think that's where it makes the most sense to allocate those resources.
Burakovsky currently sitting on 13 points in 14 games this season. Val Nichushkin is 6 points in six games. And as we mentioned, the Avs have not lost yet this year with Val Nichushkin in the lineup.
I hate records with guys in lineups because assigns them. It's like wins and losses for goaltenders are bullshit. For what we saw last night was a wonderful example of why. But it's like, yeah, it's like, what's the Avs record with Curtis McDermott? Yeah, well. It's not any good. Well, how many other guys were out during that time, right? Guy averaged 9 minutes of ice time. The record is terrible. But Nichushkin plays 18 of 60 minutes, and it's like...
Let the people have fun, AJ.
Yeah, true. Let people like stuff. I always forget my own rule. Let people like stuff.
All right, Jesse, convince us to like bringing Darcy Kemper back. I don't know how much convincing this should take, really, but...
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think any of what AJ just said is wrong. Yeah. I also first want to point out that when I started pulling up a lot of Darcy Kemper stuff, the first thing that came up was an article from fantasyhockey.com or whatever with a blurb about how Darcy Kemper was so bad he got pulled in a 7-5 win. It's like,
didn't watch the game, did you? Tell me you didn't watch the game. Didn't watch the game.
So that just pisses me off because it's the first thing that comes up on Google. It's like, great, we got these people out here, number one result on Google. No, but look, there was this is a player that's been talked about a lot over the last 5-6 months. You lost Philip Grubauer, and you had to go out and you had to move a nice haul of assets to bring in a goalie that you really believed in, right? And the worry with that was, well, are you going to end up being right back in the situation that you just gave up assets to get out of? And to me, that alone, and I understand why Darcy Kemper maybe wouldn't have done it, but like, if they would have extended him in the offseason before he even played a game, I don't think anyone would have really batted an eye. Darcy Kemper,
what that looks like,
right? Oh, for sure. Yeah, obviously. But you know, this is someone who you're not going based off of, wow, he was really hot. You know, this isn't Nedeljkovic in Detroit, right? Where he had one season where it was like, whoa, that was partial season. Right, right.
That guy is still rookie eligible this year.
Is he really?
That's how partial of a season it was.
Right. Exactly. So it's not like they went out and moved a first and a high-end prospect for a guy like that, that you're saying, wow, we think that's, you know, repeatable. Darcy Kemper has a career's worth of work that says this dude is a top-tier goaltender. He's got international that says it. And he's got multiple years in the NHL that say this is a top tier goaltender capable of winning games sometimes on his own. He's got playoff experience dating all the way back to 2014 when he came in and actually kind of shut the Avs down and helped kind of lead a comeback from the Minnesota Wild in game seven. And that's honestly another great point right there. That comment on the screen before you even get to any of Kemper's pros himself. But you know, he's got playoff experience. Obviously he's never gotten over the hump himself, but I just think that this is a guy with what you know about his career, given what you've already seen from him early in this season, as he is still settling into this team, this system, these players. I think he's already given you enough that if they gave him the contract they offered Grubauer tomorrow, I'd be fine with it. And honestly, for me, not only would I be fine with it, I think that's what they should do. Get this locked up, get this behind you, and don't even leave this one up for grabs.
He's the dollar amount?
What was it? 5.5?
Okay.
Five to 5.5 for 4 or 5 years. And I think you've got a number one that is capable of winning you 2 Stanley Cups in that window.
As Chet has started to allude to here, concerns about the injury problems potentially with Darcy Kemper. He really only has one proper full season as a starting goaltender.
Yeah, you've always got the concerns, right? But you had the concerns with Varlamov. You decided to move on from him, and he's had now 3 consecutive healthy seasons where he's played at near Vezina caliber. You had the concerns with Grubauer. I mean, look, the workload for goaltenders has changed for this exact reason. Goalies were getting hurt far too often, and you lighten the workload, right? You got you're supposed to have Francois, who could help lighten that up. You've got Eustace Annan coming, who looks like he's starting to find his groove in the AHL. To me, this is the perfect kind of, you know, pass the torch if that's the guy that you are really believing in as an organization, saying we believe that we have finally drafted a guy we can develop into an NHL goaltender. Then you sign Kemper for 5 years beyond this one, and in year 5, he's truly splitting with Annan, and maybe he ends up taking that net over, in Kemper's 35, 36 year. No, I don't think Annan's ready to back up next year.
Probably you can't at this current moment, you can't plan for that. No.
He's someone that maybe if he keeps progressing, I could see him playing a game or two next year, doing the Adam Werner thing, maybe get him in a game.
You'd love to see him establish himself as a solid third, number 3 next year, right? That's the quickest timeline you're realistically hoping for.
There's a guy who's benefiting a lot from Francois being out, as like shitty as that is to say. Eustace Annan appreciates the reps.
Yep.
So does Eric Johnson.
Yeah. Like I said, I agree with a lot of what AJ said. I was a huge Nichushkin supporter when they first brought him on. Fuck, I said that Burakovsky was going to score 30 goals. These are players that I like. I think they're important pieces for the Avs. But if you don't have a goalie, doesn't matter how many goals you score. You need someone back there. You need someone reliable. You need someone that you're going to have confidence is going to stop that next puck. And Rudo, you actually even pointed it out last night. Kemper had a really off, really weird night. He was fighting the puck all night, but then they scored that 5th one and he made a really confident, calm stop. And you said, yep, Kemps has got this. Like he just has that about himself. Again, you go back to last summer, at the World Championships, he joined a team Canada that was floundering. Who was it they lost to? Like France or something like that?
I think it was Latvia.
And Darcy Kemper comes in and just flipped the switch and took them all the way to a gold medal with a Canadian team that really wasn't as good as you know, you normally see. He's just got that ability that when it's time to turn it on and shut things down, he can do it. When you've got someone like that already within your organization, you're not having to bring someone in and pay, you know, unrestricted free agency money. To me, that's got to be your number one target. That's got to be the number one thing you deal with this summer after you get everything, all the I's dotted and T's crossed with Nathan MacKinnon.
Okay. AJ, any counterpoints quickly?
I mean, I think it's tough because
goalies really, are important.
Yeah. Which one is harder to find?
Sure.
Multiple second line guys or a goaltender? That market is way more flush with skaters every single year. I mean, we saw Tomáš Tatar waited how long to get a contract this year, and that guy could fill in on a second line and easily.
Yep.
And on a second line, and there's just guys like that all the time that are available, high level starting goaltenders.
Right. Don't need to rehash the numbers, but let's assume Kemper gets signed. Which forward do you bring back, Berkey or Nuke?
Nuke.
Okay.
Yeah. He just brings a little bit more consistency. Burakovsky's got that easy goal ability. You'd like to see them both, but I think if you're picking, you got to just pick one. Nichushkin's got a really tough skill set to find.
All right.
And he's elite at what he does. Actually elite at what he does.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve this one to both of you. For your own sake, you can keep it relatively brief, but at least give me a little bit of a defense of this indefensible take.
Oh, God.
Tell me why Martin Brodeur is better than Patrick Waugh.
I want to say the longevity thing. I mean, he played more than 200 plus games more than Patrick Waugh did. And there is something to say for that. You know, he played in the post lockout era, where the technology really started advancing. The training really started advancing. The players got better. Players got quicker. I for a lot of those reasons are why I think that Jágr doesn't get enough love for like being in the greatest of all time conversations. The fact that Jágr played in as many eras as he did and had 60 points in whatever that was, 2015 or whatever. There is something to say for players that have that ability. Where you lose a little bit of that with Martin Brodeur was those last few years were
Yo, he had a 16 save shutout against the Avs.
His last ever game. Yeah. His last ever, I believe it was either his last ever game or his last game against the Avs. Yeah, he shut him out on 16 saves. It was brutal. I was at that game.
It's too bad the Avs weren't.
Nailed it. Zing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to steal one from the chat. He scored a goal. He's exactly 0.2 seconds better than Patrick Waugh.
All right. I need at least one answer from AJ because I know this hurts him the most.
There is no answer.
Soft.
I've got to be very clear in I think Patrick Waugh is better than Martin. I think Patrick Waugh is better than Martin Brodeur was. But I mean, he's got the wins. Playoff shutouts. Martin Brodeur, I think, is like way ahead. Like way ahead.
All right. Jesse clearly wins the show because he actually tried on the last question. So that's an easy dub for Jesse.
I'm not trying to go to hell.
Anything for the content.
Let's go. We're going to get out of here for the day, chat. Hope you enjoyed the fun little debate show. Something we'll do again on a slow day, I'm sure. So if you liked it, let us know in the YouTube comments, especially the people watching after the fact. Thank you to everyone watching, listening, however you consume. We appreciate it so very much. We're back tomorrow with another pregame, postgame combo. So we hope to see you on those shows. Until then, have a good one.